Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Okay, today we're going to take a Friday break from the news with a look at the musicians behind the hits. Did you ever wonder who wrote and performed that piano part on Bridge Over Troubled Water? Or the piano solo at the end of Layla. Do you know which drummer is playing taped together orange juice bottles on the Beach Boys' God Only Knows?
God only knows what I'd be without you.
In fact, do you know the musicians who played almost every instrument on Beach Boys' recordings?
If you should ever leave me.
Or on the Ronettes' Be My Baby.
The night we met, I knew I needed you so.
The vocals are the names you know, but the music was recorded and in many cases improved upon by a group of studio musicians in Los Angeles called the Wrecking Crew. Some would go on to their own fame, Glenn Campbell and Leon Russell. But others you may not know, bassist Carole Kaye, pianist Larry Nechtal, or drummer Hal Blaine. Bruce Springsteen has been known to yell out Hal Blaine's name during a particularly good drum solo by Max Weinberg. Now, these musician stories are being told in the new book, The Wrecking Crew, The Inside Story of Rock and Roll's Best Kept Secret. Author Kent Hartman joins us from Portland, Oregon. Kent, welcome.
Oh, thank you very much.
And we're also joined by one of the leading members of the Wrecking Crew, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, drummer Hal Blaine in Palm Desert,
hey,
California.
That's me.
What an honor, Hal. You know, hearing this music, when you hear this music that you had such a part in, do the memories flood back?
You know, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, because so much of that music was just a blur. I mean, we were going from studio to studio to studio, and we never knew what we were doing, but that was one of the reasons they hired us instead of the actual group like the Byrds or whoever, because it would take them forever to make a record. We could go in there within a 3-hour period and the record would be finished.
Well, let me just read a list because, Kent, you have this terrific anthology in the back of the book. Here's just a few. The Beach Boys' Surfer Girl and Surfin' USA, Jan and Dean's Dead Man's Curve, Little Old Lady from Pasadena, Gary Lewis and the Playboys' This Diamond Ring, Mr. Tambourine Man, The Byrds, Barry McGuire, Eve of Destruction, Sonny and Cher, I Got You, Babe, The Mamas and the Papas, Monday, Monday, The Righteous Brothers, Soul and Inspiration, Frank Sinatra, Strangers in the Night. Talk a little bit about some of these iconic pieces. We read when you were recording Bridge, for instance, Bridge Over Troubled Waters, you kept picturing a troubled man shuffling along a dirt road as part of a chain gang.
When Paul Simon sang the song for me, that was the picture that I got. And for some reason, when I thought about the chains, I knew that I had some chains in my automobile. And so I ran out and got those tire chains and did an overdub with the tire chains.
Slapping them against the concrete floor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See how they shine.
Ken Hartman, we know that other music capitals had their great studio musicians. Nashville had the A-Team, Muscle Shoals in Alabama. But you write that the Wrecking Crew stands above everyone else. What did they do? I mean, I'm afraid, I think Hal might be too modest. How much did they add to the music that was the soundtrack for this country?
Everything. I mean, the reason the producers wanted to hire Hal over and over and over and everybody like him was that they played better and faster than anybody you could get, and they had a natural feel for that music. In my opinion, anyway, they were all mini arrangers, and so they would add things to their parts that others wouldn't do, whether it was on Be My Baby for the Ronettes and Phil Spector, or Houston by Dean Martin. Hal and the others like him showed up with a bag of tricks, and they knew just what to do to make a song a hit.
Hal Blaine, talk about the Dean Martin song, Houston. We understand you turned some ashtrays upside down to...
Well, what happened was that when we finished the recording, I went into Jimmy Bowen, the producer, and I said, Jim, I'd like to do a little overdub on that. He said, sure, go ahead. There was a big glass ashtray, and I took one of my little triangle beaters, and I started playing it. We're going to Houston, ting, Houston, ting, Houston, ting. For some reason, I had the picture of a blacksmith with an anvil and the way they hit, you know, put the shoes on the horses, the horseshoes.
It's sad, the shape of men going back to Houston, Houston, Houston.
Well, Kent Hartman, you know, there were so many of the things that Hal Blaine and others did to improve upon the music. And, you know, Hal, we're reading, told a young Karen Carpenter, you know, I think you're not singing in the right key. I think you should sing lower. And down the road, she does start singing lower. And, of course, that, you know, she becomes one of the most incredible voices.
Why do birds suddenly appear every time you are near? Just like me, they long to be close to you.
You talk about piano player Larry Nechtel lying on the floor for Brian Wilson to play his Hammond B3 organ pedals with his hands instead of his feet. It was this kind of, as you said, maybe tricks, but also musical knowledge, just the vast amount of musical knowledge that they brought. But not everybody was happy. I mean, some of the artists, Dean Martin, for instance, he understands he's going to have studio musicians. But some of the famous groups did not know this when they signed up. And even when they came to their recording sessions, they were surprised to find out they weren't going to play.
It was the drummer for the Byrds, Michael Clark. I was told by various people that he was like really the one guy that didn't take it too well, that Hal was replacing him. And so he had a little shouting match with Terry Melcher, the producer. But Terry won, and Mr. Tambourine Man became a number one hit, so the proof was in the drumming for sure.
Well, Jerry Cole also replaced a guy named David Crosby on the Byrds' Mr. Tambourine Man. I mean, there were other artists that knew this was going on, obviously, and didn't have a negative reaction to it. But Hal, did you have some sympathy when some of the artists were crushed to find out that they were not going to be the ones recording the songs?
My position was that I had to do a job. It's like, you know, a policeman has to write a ticket because a guy broke the law.
Everybody sing Mr. Tambourine Man. That's just one of the many hit songs that studio musicians like our guest drummer Hal Blaine played on in the 60s and 70s. Here's some more. Mason Williams, Classical Gas, The Grassroots, Midnight Confessions. Oh, that's going back. Art Garfunkel's All I Know. Hal sent us a montage that runs about 5 minutes at 10 seconds per song of the songs that he played on. I mean, that's how many there are. And we'll post it at hereandnow.org, where there's also some photographs. Meanwhile, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'd like to ask Hal about the most famous member of the Wrecking Crew, Glenn Campbell, in 1 minute, Here and Now. Welcome back to our conversation about the Wrecking Crew, studio musicians in Los Angeles who played the instruments when hit songs in the 60s and 70s like California Dreamin' by the Mamas and the Papas were recorded. We're talking with Wrecking Crew drummer Hal Blaine and Kent Hartman, whose new book is The Wrecking Crew, The Inside Story of Rock and Roll's Best Kept Secret. And Kent, it really was a secret. The late Bruce Gary, drummer for the group The Knack, once said he was disappointed to find that 10 of his favorite drummers were, in fact, Hal Blaine, because it was Hal on drums for the Beach Boys, the Monkees, Frank Sinatra, and so many others.
Hal was in such demand. I interviewed all the famous producers, Herb Alpert, I talked to Lou Adler, I talked to Bones Howe, and every one of them said that Hal was their number one call drummer. And if you, like I say in my book, if you didn't have Hal, you wanted to get Hal. And because of that, he wasn't just paid the regular union scale like many others. Hal would get double or triple scale, and that really added up because that was a strong union, Local 47. And so Hal was making some pretty good money there, and as he might or might not want to tell you, at one point he had a mansion and a Rolls Royce.
It seemed to have just, it seemed to screech to a halt in about 1975. You did Captain and Tennille's "Love Will Keep Us Together," or the Wrecking Crew musicians did, and then it seemed to fall off. What happened?
We had robots come in called computers, and once again, economics. You know, you could do an entire record with Pro Tools and all of the various electronic things that came along. I could go into a studio personally alone and do a hand clap and make an entire record with just from that hand clap of overdubbing sounds, and they would all be in tune. I could whistle even if I was out of tune. The Pro Tools would bring it into tune, and that's just the way it was. I mean, it's unfortunate, but that's the way it was. Time marches on. Your fame is 10 minutes long. That's it.
Yeah.
During the 60s and early 70s, the rock and roll recording in Los Angeles was very much a producer's medium, and the producers were in charge, and they selected the musicians that they wanted to have play. But by the mid-70s, with bands like the Eagles and the Doobie Brothers and Chicago coming along, you know, they pretty much insisted on playing their own instruments, and so I think that had a little impact, too.
Yeah. Well, and what producers they were. Hal, you got to work with Phil Spector on songs like The Crystals' He's a Rebel. Jimmy Webb on just about everything he was writing, Wichita Lineman and Time I Get to Phoenix, By the Time I Get to Phoenix.
MacArthur Park.
I don't think that I can take it, because it took so long to bake it, and I'll never have the recipe again.
The greatest musicians in the world were in Hollywood at the time.
We'll talk about one of them, Glenn Campbell, who, again, started out as this sideman, knew he wanted to have a solo career. He hears the song By the Time I Get to Phoenix, knows he wants to record that, but still, you know, member of the Wrecking Crew. Even when he was recording his own music, he recorded it with him, with Jimmy Webb. Today he's on a, you know, he's on a goodbye tour.
Yeah, I know.
Has Alzheimer's. What are some of your memories of Glenn Campbell?
Glenn was just the sweetest, nicest guy in the world. Glenn and I were working at a nightclub with Leon at the old Palomino Club out in North Hollywood. And Glenn was the only guy that did not read music. Every one of us were graduates of music schools, conservatories, whatever. Glenn was the only guy that didn't read a note of music. But he played such incredible solos. And the way it worked, because people have asked, well, how did he, you know, be on records with Dean Martin? He became very close to Dean because they were golfing buddies. But in the beginning, Glenn was just a guy that would, he was sitting there chomping at the bit, and then the conductor or whoever wrote whatever, the composer, they'd point. Now, Glenn would do these incredible off-the-wall solos. They were just unbelievable. He could hear a song once, and he could do whatever he wanted with it. And people loved him. He was just a great guy. So we're just, everybody's out there saying prayers for Glenn.
Well, Ken Hartman, can you think of a Glenn Campbell solo that you'd like us to hear as we go that isn't one, you know, from a Glenn Campbell hit that is from that... The young kid, the picture you have in your book, he looks about 10, you know, from early on. Can you think of one we should listen to?
The guitar work on Dance, Dance, Dance by the Beach Boys, he seems particularly proud of that. And so, you know, it's got a really fast-paced guitar in there, and that's Glenn's style, and he did that.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. That's Rock and Roll Hall of Famer drummer Hal Blaine.
Right.
He's featured prominently in Kent Hartman's new book, The Wrecking Crew, The Inside Story of Rock and Roll's Best Kept Secret, and it's the story of the studio musicians that backed just about every hit in the 60s and 70s. Kent and Hal. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Robin, it's a pleasure.
After 6 hours of school, I had enough of the day. I hit the radio dial and tuned it up all the way. I got a dance.
And remember, we had that conversation with Glenn Campbell recently about his career and his struggle with Alzheimer's. We'll have that link at hereandnow.org. And as we go into the break, why don't we note the passing of another great musician, Levon Helm, singer and drummer from the band.
Virgil Caine is a name, and I served on the Danville train.
Wilco's Jeff Tweedy posted this on Facebook. Levon was the glue, not just in the band, but in all of what people think of when they think of North American music. He unified blues and country, rural and city, even north and south. Luckily, he showed us all the way to keep it together and let it swing. Levon Helm was born near Turkey Scratch, Arkansas in 1940. He died yesterday in New York. He was 71. Latest news is next, here and now.